GBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Elwin Lopez. Fresh court filings calling for the Supreme Court to preserve access to the abortion pill mifepristone. The DOJ asking for an emergency stay to an appeals court ruling to restrict the use of the pill. ABC's Anne Flaherty has more.
We heard from Danko Labs in their filing to the Supreme Court that one of the interesting side effects of all of this is going to be the mislabeling of the drug. They need to do whole new labels for this drug before they can send anything out. They warn that manufacturing could stop.
A day after his arrest in Massachusetts, the 21-year-old Air National Guardsman accused of leaking classified documents appeared in Boston federal court. Jack Teixeira is charged with unauthorized and willful retention and transmission of national defense information. Attorney General Merrick Garland announcing charges today against 28 people connected to the Sinaloa cartel. This is ABC News. New ethics questions surrounding Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. A report from ProPublica appears to show billionaire Harlan Crowe purchased 3 properties in Savannah, Georgia from the Thomas family in 2014. Among them, the single-story home where Thomas's mother had been living and where Thomas spent part of his childhood. ABC's Rachel Scott has more.
In a statement to ABC News, Crowe said the properties were bought at a market rate with the intention to one day create a public museum at the Thomas home dedicated to telling the story of our nation's second black Supreme Court justice. Either way, Thomas now faces legal questions after failing to report the purchases on financial disclosure forms.
Crowe reportedly paid over $133,000 for the home and 2 vacant lots. Authorities in Philadelphia are trying to find who stole $200,000 worth of dimes from a truck in a Walmart parking lot. The missing dimes, about 2 million of them, weigh about 10,000 pounds. Elwin Lopez, ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. It's a third straight day of red flag warnings in Wisconsin. Wardens say they responded to 21 wildfires yesterday. The biggest was 3,000 acres in Monroe County. They're calling the Arcadia Fire. Governor Evers declared a state of emergency this week. A judge in Waukesha is increasing the amount of money Darryl Brooks owes his victims to more than $500,000. Prosecutors say there's a chance Brooks could sell the book or movie rights to his story and make money. Brooks is serving 6 life sentences for driving through the Waukesha Christmas parade crowd in 2021. In sports, the Bucks find out their first-round playoff opponent tonight. It'll either be Miami or Chicago. The Brewers beat San Diego last night 4-3. Eric Lauer starts tonight for Milwaukee. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Brian!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across the state of Wisconsin on a Civic Media radio station near you. Broadcasting from the Solidarity Realty Studios here on Madison's Near West Side. For Mad Radio, 92.7 FM, WMDX, 1580 AM, and so many other terrific Civic Media radio stations, the Shaw in Waukesha, Lake Air in Amory, Oshkosh Air Support in Oshkosh, and so many more. And here on a Friday afternoon, joined on Milwaukee Day, 414, April 14th, by Matt Rothschild, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Matt, how are we doing on this Friday afternoon?
It's a beautiful day, Luke. I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me in.
Absolutely. Appreciate you joining me here in the Solidarity Realty Studios. And we get to catch up for the first time since Election Day last week. And
that was a good day.
It was a beautiful day out as well that day. There was some storms in the forecast. We were worried for some inclement weather, but it worked out all right. Not too bad. Anything with the storms, but a lot of participants in the election last Tuesday.
I mean, that was the amazing thing. One of the amazing things, anyway. I mean, Dan Kelly's concession speech was the most amazing thing. But
that was amazing in the "oh my gosh, I can't believe that just happened" kind of sense of amazing.
In the already infamous category.
Yes,
I was doing election commentary on WISC Channel 3 here in Madison, and I'm in studio. Were me and Brandon Schultz of the Grocers, who's a Republican consultant, really smart guy, and we've been doing this for 20 years. So we're sitting there, we're talking, and then they cut to Kelly's thing. So we're sitting there listening to it, and I'm just started to rub my hands. Please, God, come to me as soon as he's done. Because there was a question as to whether we were going to get a lick in there or not, and sure enough, they came to me, and I was able just to say, worst concession speech of all time. Even Brandon said it was awful. I mean, it was just so embarrassing.
I don't know if you can call it a concession speech. That was my whole point to it, because he clearly did not concede. It was just a terrible speech is what it was.
Terrible. I feel bad for whoever is has the, had the title of speechwriter on his campaign, because there's no way that person wrote that speech. That came straight from Dan Kelly's id, straight out the microphone.
He saw the notes and he was like, no, I'm going to do this myself. Yeah,
this is what I want to say. But the biggest crybaby of all time.
Yeah, not a great outcome for Dan Kelly. His second double defeat in the past 3 years. Yeah, double-digit defeat.
They keep running loser guys instead of better women candidates, and that's part sexism, that's part Richard Eline, their big money guy, saying he wants the most far-right white guy to run, and so that's what happened with Tim Michaels, and that's what happened with Dan Kelly. But yeah. I do want to tip my hat to all the young people who showed up, all the women who showed up, all the people in Dane County who showed up, all the people in La Crosse and Eau Claire who showed up on campus with long lines.
Yes.
And all the organizers who got all those folks out.
Yes.
Because it wasn't just the money raising by Ben Wickler, who also deserves credit. Even though I'm in the business of limiting money, I got to give Ben his due. But it's these grassroots activists who got people out on campus and got people out all over the state. And the map is changing. Southwestern Wisconsin is going blue now. And Northwest Wisconsin continues to be blue. But it's a harder and harder map, even in the Wild Counties, even around Milwaukee, where the margins, Republican margins, are shrinking. But Dane County proved that it delivers the goods. More votes than Milwaukee County now in the last couple of elections. And so that's amazing as someone who lives in Dane County to see.
Yeah, the political muscle that got stretched last Tuesday here in Dane County was, I like to see it. We're also the state, or we're the portion of the state that people tend to be moving towards as well. And so I feel like there should be some guidance heated there, where clearly here in Dane County, we're doing something right. We're attracting new residents, and I think we're solving problems for the community that could be scaled up to the rest of the state, but that's a tangent for another
and
day.
It's also nice seeing the other, Lafayette County, went...
statewide, turnout of nearly 40... I haven't got a chance to check the recent total after the canvas and everything, but I believe we were on the precipice of 40% voter turnout.
Which was a record.
I was just saying, which set records for no presidential primary for a spring election. And so a pretty historic turnout, and the results last Tuesday going to show a lot of a significant change going forward in Wisconsin. And as you pointed out, you're in the business of keeping an eye on the money. And there was something we talked about in the lead up to last Tuesday's election in many different regards. We hit the benchmark of the previous statewide record set that got shattered very early. And then pretty quickly in the campaign as well, this race set the national record for how much money total was spent for a judicial race in the nation.
It was truly beneath contempt.
Oh, here he is.
And then we got Evan in the background playing some clips.
Playing the ghost of Dan Kelly. Let me talk on the money a second, Luke, because I'm going to take a contrary position, even though I praised Ben Wickler for his skill in bringing in a ton of money. I don't want people to draw the wrong lesson. I don't want your listeners to draw the wrong lesson, because I don't think long term that the Democrats and progressives are going to outraise Republicans, especially with the big dollars, with the big money people, because there are more right-wing billionaires than there are left-wing billionaires. Secondly, the politics of a left-wing billionaire are not identical to the interests of a lot of, liberal working people down here. Mm-hmm. I mean, let me give you an example. The folks over at Epic, they're donors, the owners are donors to the Democratic Party. Pretty significant. And yet they took a case all the way to the Supreme Court to prevent unionization.
Yeah.
That's weird. And it's a signal that the interests of this billionaire class, as Bernie calls it, even if they're liberal, some of them, isn't identical to the interests of people who are out there earning a living on a paycheck. And so, and finally, it's just bad for democracy. I mean, there was this piece that came out from Wisconsin Watch. They held a panel here in Madison out on East Washington the other night that I attended. It was a very interesting, insightful panel that Wisconsin Watch, the investigative reporting unit here in Madison, run by D. Hall, She's the managing editor there, and Matt DeFore is the state capitol bureau chief. And one of their other investigative reporters, Jacob Resnick, did a little bit of the counting of the small donors. The small donors got totally swamped by the big donors. I'm just going to read this one paragraph. Protasewicz received nearly 25,000 individual donations of $50 or less, coming to $500,000 and change, which is still less than the $820,000 that top 41 donors gave to her campaign. 41 people gave more than the total amount that 25,000 people gave. Similar thing with Dan Kelly. I mean, it almost makes people who are giving that small amount of money into chumps. You know, why are you doing it? It's costing you money, especially if that's all you can give is $50. You probably need that $50 more. The candidates are getting $20,000 from their biggest donors. But on top of that, those big donors are then writing checks to Ben Wickler for $200,000 or $2 million. And so our democracy, this is the major point I'm driving to. I know it's taken a while.
That's okay. Sure. Here on Dueling Tangents, it's all right when we meander a little bit with our tangents.
But the main point is it shouldn't just be a handful of super rich people on the left versus a handful of super rich people on the right,
right,
who are dominating our electoral arena. We all should be able to have an equal play and an equal say in the electoral arena, and we don't when we have all this money coming from just the fat cats.
Yeah, there are, I think, a lot of things to look at last Tuesday for hope and good signs moving forward. And I think that is one of those ones. It's still a cautionary tale.
The question I have is whether any Republicans are going to come around for campaign finance reform. Senator Chris Larson, the great Democrat from the Milwaukee area, every session over the last several has introduced a comprehensive package to lower the amounts that the super rich can give, to prevent people from being able to give, you know, six figures, seven figures to the party or to the outside, other outside groups. It was funny to see that Dan O'Donnell, the right-wing guy, said, oh, my God, there was a loophole somehow snuck into something that Walker wrote in the campaign finance reform. Well, they wrote it because they thought they were going to benefit from all the time. It wasn't a loophole. It was a design.
Yeah.
But, you know, Dan O'Donnell is coming around to campaign finance reform, but I doubt the Republican leadership will. And actually, I doubt that the Democratic leadership will. And maybe that Larson, just as a kind of a backbench senator, will be the one who is leading the charge here and may not get support from all of his colleagues. I'm anxious to talk to him.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see how a proposal like that will be seen in future sessions. I don't know how much it's going to get now, but again, there's a lot of groundwork to be done when it comes to getting more transparency in our campaign finance and making it so that we don't have such an outsized influence by such a small group of individuals. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Friday afternoon by Matt Rothschild, Executive Director of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. If you want to share a tangent with us on this Friday afternoon, 844-967-2789. We also got a proposal coming up in the state legislature, and you've got an op-ed coming out next week on this bill. We're going to get into that a little bit more coming up in this next segment, Matt, but there's a lot to be talking about still. Yes, the spring election is behind us.
Take a deep breath. Finally, exhale.
Yes, we could exhale for a little bit, but democracy is not a spectator sport. It takes us paying attention and keeping an eye on things like really hampering down on protests and the freedom of speech and assembly in the First Amendment. So we're going to get into that. Also going to be joined by Brooke Skidmore, owner of the Growing Tree Child Care Center and a member of the Main Street Alliance, coming up at 2:30, having a conversation about what child care provisions can be funded in this upcoming budget. Really excited to have those conversations. And your phone calls, 844-967-2789. Dueling Tangents, we'll be right back.
The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last, 'cause the times, they are a-changing.
You know him. him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Daytime highs approaching 82. This afternoon, under partly cloudy skies, southerly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. 58 tonight, partly cloudy skies. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Tomorrow, slight chance for scattered showers. High of 78. Daytime highs approaching 57. Sunday, mixed precipitation possible at times. 38 on Monday. A dusting of snow Sunday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 83.
Keeping the Fox Valley connected, informed, and entertained. This is Civic Media. 92.7 WMDX.
And I wish Wisconsin the best of luck, because I think it's going to need it.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. If you want to take us with you on the go, download the Civic Media app. You can jump from station to station, see all of the excellent programming that we have across the Civic Media network. Right there on the app, go to your app store, either the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store. Download Civic Media app. You can take us with you on the go. Joined in studio by Matt Rothschild, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. And so we shared our takeaways from last Tuesday's results. And it's important to keep an eye on what's to come in the Wisconsin legislature. We got a budget session coming up. We're excited to talk about the joint finance listening sessions and some of the lobbying that has been done by local organizations working with Brooke Skidmore next segment, Matt. But you brought to my attention, I had heard a little clamoring about this proposal, but you showing me an opinion piece coming out next week talking about a proposal before the Wisconsin legislature to clamp down on and really disincentivize, make people think twice about protesting. And can you tell us a little bit more about this proposal before the Wisconsin legislature and why it's such a threat to First Amendment rights?
Sure. This is called sometimes the riot bill or the riot bills. It already passed the assembly, and it passed so fast I didn't have time to get over there and testify because I didn't see the posting that they were going to have even a hearing on it. So they just whisked it through shortly after the session opened. It hasn't been called in the Senate committee yet, and I will be testifying there against it. The ACLU has already lodged their opposition to it, as did Wisconsin Conservation Voters. Here's the problem. We don't need a bill that criminalizes a riot. First of all, they define a riot in a real weird way.
Very vague way, yeah, as well.
I mean, there are two parts to it. One is a specific part. It's an act of violence, but we don't need that because acts of violence are already against the law.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't destroy property. That's against the law. You can't
assault is against the law.
You can't hit anybody. Yeah, you can't. You can't. You know, burn a building down. Arson's against the law.
Yep.
So why do we need that? And the other part of the bill is even more pernicious, and that is it makes it a felony to encourage people to participate in a riot. And so they call this incitement to riot, but then they define incitement super loosely, including just the verb to encourage. Well, what does that mean? You're encouraging someone so to commit a riot, and a riot is defined as either an act of violence or inciting someone. So you could be encouraging someone to incite someone. I mean, so it just kind of goes round and round.
It's very strange.
And, the example I'm using in this piece that the Wisconsin Examiner is going to run on Monday is, you know, what if someone from the microphone said, we got to follow Malcolm X's advice and, you know, demand change by whatever means necessary. And, you know, someone might say, well, you're inciting people to a riot. You're inciting people to commit violence. Really? You're encouraging people. Well, you know, it's just so loosely and vaguely defined that it is going to allow a prosecutor to round up a lot of people. And then I was reading from the assembly hearing that they did have some of the police organizations that are in favor of the bill. And one of the, I think it was the Fraternal Order, said, yeah, we need this bill because there were so many people last summer at the Black Lives Matter protests who were inciting the protests that got away with it. Really? They're just going to start rounding people up for this encouraging people to protest when some violence or even a threat of violence. So you could have something that they call a riot where there's no violence whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
There was just a threat.
Yeah.
And no one committed any act.
Or they claim that the threat was there, even though there was no likely chance of violence. If somebody wanted to say, oh, I felt threatened, all of a sudden this could be used against individuals assembling and exercising their First Amendment rights of protest. And strangely enough, it's the same people that downplayed the insurrection.
I know, that's the ultimate irony, isn't it?
That is the most frustrating part to me, because people that said, oh, like our senior senator here in Wisconsin, it wasn't an armed insurrection. They didn't actually have guns. No, those got left on the National Mall. They didn't bring the guns to the Capitol building with them. And bogus downplaying of the threat that was on January 6th, and then want to be able to pass legislation like this to further target individuals that they don't want to see protesting. And those ambiguities being there so that individuals that look a lot like me, a white male, would not have this be brought against them. It's going to be used, I believe, improperly against minorities that are protesting and assembling and exercising their First Amendment rights.
Right. I mean, it's not going to be, you know, the white frat kids on Langdon Street after a football game who are trashing the joint who are going to be arrested for felony
riot. I was one of those once. I never rioted, but I was one of those guys once. So
if you said, let's turn over that car out front, you would be guilty of a riot under this definition.
I would already be going and getting a ticket or arrested for property damage. So I agree with you.
Breaking windows, trashing the lawn, anything.
Very unnecessary piece of legislation. Thank you very much for bringing that to light, Matt. And you're going to be doing a little fill-in shift for the Devil's Advocates coming up next week as well with this op-ed published on Monday in Wisconsin Examiner. What can listeners expect for the fill-in for Matt Rothschild on Tuesday with the Devil's Advocates?
Well, Crudy put the arm on me, and so I had to say yes. So I'll be behind the mic from 4 to 6 on Civic Media, subbing in there for the Devils.
All right, and you also got a listening session going on up in La Crosse.
I'm getting my car, driving up to La Crosse on Monday night. If it's not snowing, it's supposed to snow on Sunday night, Monday morning.
Spring in Wisconsin. It's 80 today, and maybe snow coming up soon.
But, yeah, I'm talking to the La Crosse County Democratic Party folks, so I'm looking forward to that.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining me on your very busy schedule, Matt, on this Friday afternoon. Really appreciate it. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. We got Brooke Skidmore coming up next, talking joint finance listening sessions and lobbying surrounding child care here in this upcoming budget. Stay tuned.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
ABC News, I'm Elwin Lopez. Fresh court filings calling for the Supreme Court to preserve access to the abortion pill mifepristone. The DOJ asking for an emergency stay to an appeals court ruling to restrict the use of the pill. ABC's Anne Flaherty has more.
We heard from Danko Labs in their filing to the Supreme Court that one of the interesting side effects of all of this is going to be the mislabeling of the drug. They need to do whole new labels for this drug before they can send anything out. They warn that manufacturing could stop.
A day after his arrest in Massachusetts, the 21-year-old Air National Guardsman accused of leaking classified documents appeared in Boston federal court. Jack Teixeira is charged with unauthorized and willful retention and transmission of national defense information. Attorney General Merrick Garland announcing charges today against 28 people connected to the Sinaloa cartel. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Wildfires are raging in Wisconsin for a third straight day. Crews responded to 21 wildfires yesterday, including the 3,000-acre Arcadia fire. Several people have had to evacuate their homes, but we don't know of anyone getting hurt. There's rain and cooler temperatures in the forecast tomorrow. Fires aren't the only problem in Wisconsin. Flooding on the Wisconsin River means several people in Wausau are having to evacuate their homes. Planners say high water not only poses a danger to people who live in flood zones, but to rescue workers who might be called to pull people out. In sports, the Bucks find out their first-round playoff opponent tonight. It'll either be Miami or Chicago. The Brewers beat San Diego last night 4-3. Eric Lauer starts tonight for Milwaukee. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
If it's handcrafted and healthy, why are you still adding flavoring or sugar to your tea? Develop your palate for diverse teas from around the world at Cultivate Taste in Green Bay. Cultivate Taste is an upscale tea salon open and inviting to all. Its certified tea specialists will infuse you with education about all the expertly sourced teas. Cultivate Taste. Call 920-770-7163. 920-770-7163. Or go to CultivateTaste.com. Cultivate your taste at Cultivate Taste, Green Bay.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org, brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
You were supposed to get a colon cancer screening, but stuff came up.
We did have to pick up the twins from practice.
But on the way, we hit a giant pothole.
Over
on
if you are 45 and older, don't let stuff get in the way of your screening. Visit the Colorectal Cancer Alliance at ccalliance.org.
But then...
Said I'm pulling down the shades for the long ride. Never knew that I could feel so black and blue. And I've been holding on to something now for some time. And all I know is it's a feeling fit for two. Cause when the sunlight...
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. Broadcasting from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's Near West Side. I'm Luke Mathers, now joined on this Friday afternoon by Brooke Skidmore, the co-owner and administrator of the Growing Tree Child Care Center in New Clarus, Wisconsin. And Brooke, you do lobbying efforts and communications for the child care industry. as a member of that industry, encouraging our lawmakers to be able to address the crisis that we have right now of needing to be able to deliver more options for childcare, as well as affordable options for members of our community. And really appreciate you taking time out of your Friday afternoon to join me and share what you've been working on in those efforts. How are you doing on this Friday afternoon?
I'm doing okay. I'm glad it's Friday, but thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Really appreciate you taking the time. And so we were connected because you work with a number of different organizations, but Main Street Alliance, one of those organizations, advocating right now for folks that are unaware. We are currently in the midst of the budget negotiations going on for Wisconsin's next two-year budget. And we historically have a surplus that could be invested in Wisconsin in a number of different ways, and that surplus nearing $7 billion in that area of $7 billion, and those resources could be invested or sent to tax cuts. There's a lot of negotiations going on right now before the Joint Finance Committee, which is the legislative committee that will be doing a bulk of the writing of this budget. And right now, the Joint Finance Committee is holding listening sessions around the state of Wisconsin, looking to get input. And you recently participated in a lobbying effort with Main Street Alliance and other organizations, encouraging lawmakers to be able to take advantage and invest in a program for childcare here in Wisconsin. What can you tell us a little bit about your recent experience speaking with lawmakers on this subject?
So last week I met with four Joint Finance Committee members on the Republican side, none of which am I a constituent of. So it was very nice that I was able to meet with their offices and learn their perspective of why they historically do not support childcare. Wisconsin provides zero funding for early childcare. It's not a line item on the state budget. So I was able to meet with four of them last week, and hopefully I was able to provide a different perspective, because I think there is some misunderstanding. For example, one of the offices said, well, because we discussed the teacher shortage in childcare, which is because of the low wages in childcare. And he said, everybody right now is, you know, having a workforce shortage. And the thing to connect the dots, though, is that there is a workforce shortage because there's not childcare. Parents can't work. We live in childcare desert. So parents either can't find childcare or they can't afford it, because the cost of childcare, you know, rivals that of paying for college tuition. In the county that I live in right now, just for one child, the total household income pays 19% of their income for childcare. So that means a lot of families either can't afford it, or they're choosing between food, housing, medical, things like that.
Yeah, and that is $1 in $5 of a household going towards childcare nearly is a tremendous, tremendous problem that needs, in my opinion, at least, action from our lawmakers to be able to address those problems. And so what exactly are we able to advocate for coming up? So as you mentioned, no line items currently in the Wisconsin state budget for childcare. What kind of proposals are there right now that Wisconsinites can encourage their lawmakers, listeners to this program, and or anybody out there could encourage their lawmakers to be able to support ahead of these budget negotiations?
Right. So to go back with ARPA funds, the federal funding that our state received, the Department of Children and Families, which is who regulates the child care industry in our state, they utilize the ARPA funds to improve the wages for child care. So applying for that, you either had to provide bonuses for your teachers or increase the wages. Which we all did that applied. And because of that, our state average went from $10.66 wage for a teacher, which is, of course, awful, to $12 now. And at the same time, I want to mention over 50% of us have an associate's degree or higher, and we're still making bottom pay. So the federal money is set to run out the end of this year. So the ask is $300 million. The governor added $40 million to it. So it's $340 million is the ask. And that ask is just to continue this program, which is a stabilization program. All it has done is tried to reduce the amount of programs closing, because we have been in a decline for years prior to COVID. But COVID did exacerbate the situation, causing more and more childcare deserts in our state. And of course, that affects our economy. Because of the lack of childcare, we lose billions of dollars a year. So we're just asking to stabilize it. I personally would like to ask to fix it and actually fund childcare, because it's the most critical time of education in a person's life. 90% of brain development occurs before the age of five. We are able to create those foundations for children, teaching them self-regulation, how to have relationships, how to be ready to learn when they do go to the K through 12 system. So you were talking earlier about how to get them. One of the things is acknowledging that childcare is an investment, and it affects everybody. It's not just your child, your problem type situation. When we don't take care of our children, we take care of them later on in health costs, in our state assistance programs, in our prison systems, which we pay an extreme amount. I believe it was over $1 billion for our prison systems, and yet we pay nothing for childcare, which would be preventative, because we know when children experience quality early childcare, they're more likely to graduate high school, go to college, they're more likely to be healthier and have a higher tax base. So that's how it helps our economy. This affects everybody. So again, I would like a fix, which is to invest in the wages for teachers so that we have a consistent support to count on. Right now, it's hard to, a lot of providers are doing the bonuses, because come January of next year, that funding isn't there. And surveys have been done to the providers to see what will happen when that funding, if it doesn't pass, and a large number will close their doors. And I am probably one of those as well.
So without action from the Wisconsin legislature and the governor ahead of this next budget cycle, if these problems aren't addressed with even the stopgaps, it sounds like that we could be facing a further exacerbation of childcare providers closing their doors because of the current situation. Folks, you're listening. Go ahead.
Okay. With our funding, we gave raises to our teachers, and part of that was in hopes that we could recruit teachers with the higher wage rate. However, Quick Trip and the gas stations, Target, everybody also increased their wages, so we're not competitive still. But without the funding, that would mean I'd have to decrease their wages, which you can't do that, and that's not an option right now. And I'm already the most expensive in our county for tuition rates. My parents can't afford me to hike up tuition any more than it already is. So that's why this is a community issue, and we need to step up as a government and support this.
Yeah, absolutely. The shifting the cost to the parents of the children as well does not necessarily solve that problem. It just shifts the cost. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined by Brooke Skidmore, co-owner and administrator of the Growing Tree Child Care Center in New Glarus. And Brooke, we've got a historic surplus that could be used to invest $7 billion of surplus at the state coffers. And so in the millions of dollars that the stopgap would be needed, but what kind of dollar amounts would we be having for investing in these programs rather than just trying to do a stopgap? What would it look like, in your opinion, of how to be able to further improve and fund this very vital need at an actual level rather than just trying to stop the bleeding?
Well, right now, because only it's an issue of inequity, because right now the more wealthier people can afford childcare, and they know how important it is, so they're accessing it, where people with less income base are not able to access it. So it creates this inequity, because children are starting school years behind their peers, and research shows that stays pretty stagnant. So it's an equity issue as well. just as we fund the K through 12 system, we need to fund the early child care system. We have the low wages, as mentioned, we have no benefits. And research has also shown that families to thrive should only pay 7% of their household income towards childcare. So there's a few options that we could look at. And it's not like we would be creating the wheel. Most countries do support childcare. We're actually one of the bottom of countries, developed countries. We're only ahead of Croatia, actually, for supporting childcare. But it would be doing the numbers just to increase the wages by like $4 to $5 with the workforce that we have currently in Wisconsin, we'd be looking at like $200 million.
Okay.
But that's just a couple of dollars. We need to get our wages up to the Wisconsin, the state average, which is $19. Right now, on average, people, workers that don't have a high school degree make more than we do. You make more to take care of dogs than you do children. Wow. So it's an investment that brings a rate of return for every dollar spent. The average is $14. And I think it's very telling because the younger the child, a one-year-old will bring about $16 return, where a 4 or 5 year old will bring like the $12 or $13 rate of return. So it will pay itself too. It is an investment, and it's a good investment for our families, for our communities, for our workforce.
Yeah, a terrific value that could be received with the surplus that we have, that we could use portions of that surplus to be able to make those investments. And I think it's also important to point out, as you've noted, the workforce shortage that we have here in Wisconsin, in both the childcare industry and industries abroad, or like across the state, it's only going to get worse in the coming years, with studies predicting us as a state, the state of Wisconsin, being shy 130,000 jobs by the end of this decade. Taking the steps now to invest in addressing some of those possible even further workforce shortages just, to me, makes sense. For listeners out there that want to be able to get involved and advocate similar to you yourself in this organization, or telling their lawmakers, what is the best way for listeners to be able to, during this budget season, for lack of a better term, how can they get involved to advocate their lawmakers to include provisions like these childcare provisions for the next 2-year budget?
It would be great if people were calling the Joint Finance Committee members, even regardless if you're their constituent, you are, as they are part of the state committee, calling your own representatives as well, but letting them know to support childcare, that it is important. Because when I met last week with the offices of the Joint Finance Committee, the four, the response, the feeling I got is they are not planning on supporting it. And the Republicans make up the majority. And this is, the child care issue is not even a partisan issue. Over 80% of voters agree to support child care. So why they're not listening to the constituents, I don't know. That was not able to be answered in my meetings. So we need to call, we need to use our voice and let them know that this is a priority. And if they're not going to listen, then maybe they shouldn't be in that position.
Absolutely. I believe everybody out there can get in contact with their lawmakers, encourage them to support childcare in the upcoming 2-year budget. Brooke Skidmore, thank you so much for joining me on this Friday afternoon. Really appreciate it. I hope you have a terrific weekend, and we hope to have you back on soon.
Thank you.
Thank you. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. One more segment left in the day, then the weekends. We'll be right back.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Daytime highs approaching 82 this afternoon under partly cloudy skies, southerly winds, 10 to 15 miles an hour. 58 tonight, partly cloudy skies. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Tomorrow, slight chance for scattered showers, high of 78. Daytime highs approaching 57 Sunday. Mixed precipitation possible at times, 38 on Monday. A dusting of snow Sunday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 83.
Fox Valley, regional and state news and commentary. For us to find common ground, Civic Media.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. We are in the final segment before the weekend. If you want to share a tangent with us, 844-967-2789. It's 844-96-PARTY. And really want to thank both Matt Rothschild, Executive Director of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, and Brooke Skidmore, co-owner of the Growing Tree Child Care Center in New Glarus, for joining me on this Friday afternoon. It is now time for a little Most Wisconsin Headline of the Week. I didn't forget about it, folks. We've got them. And I've got two different entries. And Evan, I want you to tell me which one you think is a little bit more the Most Wisconsin Headline of the Week. I got two of them, and there's two submissions here.
The Most Wisco, let's see.
The Most Wisco. Let's do this one first. We got the piece of legislation that has been referred to a little bit already throughout this week, but I think this has got to be one of the most Wisconsin headlines, if not the most. But both U.S. senators representing the state of Wisconsin are behind it, so you know it's got to be good then. When those two can agree upon it, it's pretty Wisconsin.
Okay.
And that is the CURD Act. The fact that there is legislation named the CURD Act, talking about the regulatory definition of dairy.
All right.
So this is what it is, Evan. Officially, CURD, or Codifying Useful Regulatory Definitions Act.
Oh, no.
That allows consumers to know exactly what is in their cheese products. Almond, oat, and coconut milk are widely considered good dairy alternatives, especially for those who are sensitive or unable to digest dairy products. But the general plant manager of Nasonville Dairy, Ken Hyman, wants people to know that it's a trick.
Big dairy, man.
It should not say milk on it to begin with. That's what
almond milk is a deception, he's saying.
Yeah, essentially. And so but coming up and naming that act, the CURD Act.
No, man.
CURD?
No.
Come on. That's pretty good use of a Wisconsin terminology there.
And taxpayer money. We almost certainly, apparently, truly hire people whose job it is to come up with these things.
Oh, yeah. Every legislative staff member has somebody that's really good with acronyms.
Like full-time. Figuring,
I don't know if it's just that sole responsibility of theirs, Evan.
Almost certainly, man.
No, you just have a creative guy like Brian who can do things like this and many other things as well.
No, I don't think
no,
so,
you're,
man.
You're against it? Okay. And then the other, so this is pretty Wisconsin. I want to say this is the Most Wisconsin headline of the week. But the one that I saw first earlier in the week, talking about how a tied election in Sister Bay, in the Door County region of Wisconsin, Sister Bay, Wisconsin, a tie-breaking determination for village president, Evan. Do you know how they broke the tie? Did you hear this one?
No, I haven't, no.
See, I saw the headline and it was rolling of a die, and I immediately pictured just bar dice, like a little dive bar. You're sitting at the bar, Sister Bay Bowl or one of the other terrific bars up in Sister Bay.
Three beers in,
and you're like, oh, we counted all the votes and it's tied even. We gotta play some bar dice to see who the actual winner is. That's what I pictured in my head. It was actually just a roll of the die determining who was the winner of the village president race in Sister Bay. But that's a pretty Wisconsin headline of the week as well. Coming up with playing dice to determine the tiebreaker of an election here in Wisconsin.
They should just make poll tabs, you know?
That would have been so good. You got to get through the poll tab machine and you got to find the one with the winner.
Missed opportunity.
That would be the most Wisconsin way to break an election. You're right. And for that, Evan, I think we do have to give it to the CURD Act as the most Wisconsin headline.
The most groan-inducing.
Yes. And WSAW up in Channel 7 for CBS in Wausau had the headline, "The CURD Act looking to take non-dairy products out to pasture."
Oh, my goodness, Lord.
Officially, folks, your Dueling Tangents most Wisconsin headline of the week right there.
There's an acceptable level of punnage. There is. You know, there's kind of an ironic, you know, it sucks, but it's still funny in a way.
Yeah.
We're past it. We're just so far past it. I don't know. Yes. Are they trying to be cute?
Well, but in the defense of the act, Evan, have you ever heard of almond curds?
I have not.
Or soy curds?
Who's asking is the real question.
Coconut curds. Like, there is a point there. And the fact that the whichever staffer came up with curd to use as the acronym this one.
They were so happy with themselves.
They were clever because you can have different types of milk. Milk would be too easy.
We got goat milk.
Exactly.
Cat milk.
Well, those are all still dairy products. Those are true, not substitutes for dairy. I hope not. Yes, that's not the case. But I think the CURD Act and the out to pasture is just you think that's too punny?
We're getting there. We're getting there.
You think that's too punny?
You're wearing slacks at work. You got loafers on, and you're giggling to yourself at your desk. I don't know, man. I can't think of a single thing.
I giggled when I saw the out to pasture one. So
if you or me came up with it, it'd be different, you know?
Fair enough. I was going to say, I don't wear slacks or loafers to work. So
you
that
don't?
Would,
yeah.
That wouldn't be me. I
still look
qualify
great.
For that.
You look great.
Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. Really appreciate you tuning in for this Friday edition of the show. And again, want to thank both Matt Rothschild, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, as well as Brooke Skidmore, co-owner of the Growing Tree Child Care Center, for joining me on this Friday edition of Dueling Tangents. Really excited. We got the Cripes Cast coming up this weekend. You can listen across Civic Media at noon. Charlie Burns, host of the Cripes Cast and the Manitowoc Minute, putting on that podcast for and from people of the Midwest.
And if he came up with it, it'd be funny because you know it's coming from this ironic point. Like,
what if he was the one that submitted the CURD Act?
Then I'm behind.
I'm on board. It completely depends on who came up with the acronym.
It's true. There's sort of a funny badge, you know. It's like Boy Scouts. You got to get your funny badge.
Get your funny badge first. Okay. All right. But we got the Cripes Cast coming up on Saturday and Sunday at noon. We got a very special edition of Max Inc. Radio as well this evening. Not this evening. Saturday evening. They got Bomblastica going on for Max Inc. So you can tune in for that live on location 6 to 9 p.m. And the rest of Max Inc. from 9 p.m. to midnight. You can tune into that on Saturday. And Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger replays on Saturday and Sunday at 1 o'clock. As well as we got Let's Get Local with Jason Hafeman at 11 a.m. on Saturday and Sunday. It's going to be a jam-packed weekend full of content here at Civic Media. You want to stay tuned. You can listen to the Brewers tonight as they take on the next team in the West Coast road trip that they are on. San Diego took care of business last night in extra innings. Got three more games against the Padres before they head up to Seattle before they head home. And you can listen to those games on WISS Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM in Oshkosh, and WRCE in Richland Center. If you missed any portion of this show, go check out the podcast. Dueling Tangents will be back on Monday. Talk to y'all then.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.